I guess it's been 2 weeks ago now. Had an opportunity to study with some other preachers in Russellville, Alabama. I love it. It is fantastic. There are men there who have been preaching the gospel for 60 years. And just so much wisdom that they're willing to share. And they're patient as we try to study with them and learn with them. It was good for me. And the topic we're going to discuss this morning, the virtuous wife, is one of the things that we looked at. It was so important to see it. Every one of us had studied this before. But to see it again and study it, especially from the perspective of those who have 60 years of being married. Some of them were married 57 and 61. And just seeing the appreciation for their wives, I needed to see it. It was good for me. Also, I've been thinking a lot about marriage lately. One of our good friends, I've known her since she was 12. Sasha used to babysit her, so if that tells you how long she's known her. She is getting married in 3 weeks. She's asked me to preach the wedding for her. I'm ecstatic. They are two people who understand marriage. They love the Lord. They respect His Word. I'm excited about that. And I'll be honest, there are a lot of weddings I don't get excited about because I'm fully convinced people don't know what they're doing. And it makes me nervous. But this one, you've got two young Christians who have put God first and they understand the commitment they're making. I'm excited about it. Well, thinking about her marriage got me thinking about my girls. You know, very likely, there's a good chance they're going to want to get married one day. I want them to marry godly men. And just be honest with you. That's what I want. I'm already praying for their husbands. I don't know who they are. But if they're alive, and even if they're not, I'm praying for them. Because I want them to be preparing themselves as young as they can to be the men that my daughters need. Now, I joke that I don't ever want an INA when to get married. I joke about it, but I do. If that's what they want to do, marriage is a good thing. Marriage is something that God has blessed and He's given it to us. Husband and wife complete each other. And I want them to enjoy that and have that blessing. The marriage, it's the union that the home is built around. That's where a family is to be built up and raised. I want them to enjoy the blessings that come with that. I joke about it, but marriage is a good thing. Hebrews 13, verse 4, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. It's true. Something we should respect very much. Go ahead and be turning to Proverbs 31. So in thinking about this, I think, what advice could I give to my girls now? You know, they're young. There's a lot of advice I could give to them, and various things we'll talk a little bit more, but if I could give them one nugget of wisdom, what would it be? I think it would be read Proverbs 31, 10 through 31, and be that woman. Become like that woman. Have the heart of that woman. I believe that's some of the best advice I could give to two young women. The woman described here, she is a wife. But I suggest to you that what we really have here is a blueprint of a godly woman's heart. You can take applications from this, and it doesn't matter if you're married or not. You can make those applications. It doesn't matter if you have children or not. You can learn from this woman. First and foremost, look at verse 30. This is who she is. Charm is deceitful, beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. This is what defines her. Every other thing we see in this chapter is based around the fact she reveres the Lord. She respects Him and His ways. She loves Him. And that's why she's doing so many of these other things that are honorable to Him. Married women need to know Proverbs 31. Young women who are looking to marry one day need to know this woman. Women who have no intention of ever getting married need to know this woman and see the things that she's doing. Ladies, how often do you read Proverbs 31? How often do you read it? When I decided to start preaching, an older preacher took me aside and said, this is what you need to do. Read 1st and 2nd Timothy once a month. I said, why? He said, because it's a letter from an apostle to a young preacher. It tells you how to be the preacher you need to be. Read it once a month. Ladies, how often do you read this? Because quite frankly, the world's idea of what a preacher is supposed to be is nothing like God's. The world thinks that preachers are elders. The world calls preachers pastors, but if you're familiar with the New Testament, the word pastors refers to elders, older men who meet specific qualifications. The world doesn't know that. I won't know that unless I study God's Word. Preachers are teachers of God's Word. Proverbs 31 tells women how to be at their best, and it gives us a case study. So let's look at it together this morning. If I was to ask this question, there are a lot of young women in here, a lot of girls. How many of you want to get married one day? You don't have to raise your hand, but I imagine it would be a lot. I imagine the vast majority would. Do you want to marry a godly man? As I look at my girls, do you want to marry a godly man? I hope the answer is yes. If it's not, come talk to me later. Let's sit down and discuss why. Because I would suggest, if the answer is not yes, you're not ready to get married. Are you looking for a man who loves the Lord and puts the Lord first? If the answer is yes, here's a free one. I'm going to show you how to attract a godly man this morning. I'm going to give that to you this morning. You want some advice on how to attract a godly man? Here it is. Be this woman. Be the Proverbs 31 woman. Because I can promise you from experience, men who love the Lord and want to serve the Lord are looking for this kind of woman to marry. They are. If you're looking for a godly man, this is what he's looking for. And this is most importantly, though, far more important than that, this is what God is looking for out of his women. So let's go in and take a look. We're going to look this morning at her worth. We're going to look at her work. We're going to look at her reward. And as we go through this, ladies, regardless of age or marital status, ask, is this me? Ask that question. And guys, for us, we need to listen too. We're going to get to us later. So let's start by reading Proverbs 31 in verse 10. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. So she shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. With that in mind, let's take a closer look at this woman this morning. Verse 10, what is she worth? She is worth far more than rubies, verse 10 tells us. Now, how? How is she worth more than rubies? Because rubies are worth a lot. You know, you've got a bucket full of rubies. Physically speaking, you got some wealth there, right? How is this woman better than rubies? I'll tell you one way, I can't trust in rubies. Right? Rubies don't care about my good. They don't care about me at all. Rubies are not concerned if my household is going to serve the Lord or not. My wife is. Rubies don't build me up and make me a better servant of the Lord. My wife does. Rubies don't teach my children how to serve the Lord and how to build faith in Him. My wife does. Do we see now how she's better? How she's worth more than rubies? You can buy a lot of stuff with rubies, but they're not going to help us get to heaven. My wife does. She is worth more than these physical things. I need to remember that. Rubies don't worship the Lord either. My wife does. This is something that we need to see. God is pleased with this woman. Joe read for us. I have it up here for us. I appreciate him doing that. Proverbs 18, verse 22. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Are we treating our wives like they are this good thing? Guys, we need to. We obtain favor from the Lord when we found her. Turn to Proverbs 12. Keep your places marked, if you will, Proverbs 31. We'll be right back. But Proverbs 12, verse 4. Look at this. We're just going to start with the first half of the verse. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband. She's a crown. She makes you feel like a king. She makes your home feel like a palace. And that doesn't mean that it's filled with money, but because it's filled with good things. Wives, do you fill your house with good things? And I'm not talking about stuff. I'm talking about really good things. Spiritual things. Love and honor and peace and respect for the Lord. Are you filling your house with those good things? Because that's what the godly woman does. Now, look at the second half of the verse. Not as much fun. But she who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. Not all women are virtuous. Not all men are either. So, to the young people here, to the little ones even, don't marry just anybody. Please, please don't marry just anybody. Take your time. Make sure. Learn them. And make sure that they love the Lord like you do. Don't be ensnared by good looks. Good looks fade. I mean, this very chapter tells us that. Good looks, that's passing. It's deceitful. That charm is passing. You need a heart that loves the Lord. Please look for that. An ungodly spouse will rot your bones. Something to be taken very seriously. And for the lady, the young ladies, I would add this. Make sure you can marry a man that you will have no difficulty submitting to. Right? You're going to have to do that. The Lord expects you to be submissive to the leadership of your husband. Can you submit to this man? If you can't, don't marry him. Right? And what if I can't submit to any man? Then you're not ready to get married. We need to understand these things. This is so important. So many people rush into it. It's too important to miss. Turn back to 31. Proverbs 31. The virtuous wife is trustworthy. Verse 11. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. She will have no lack of gain. As we went through the chapter, did you notice everything he entrusted into her hands? He entrusted his goods, their goods, his food, their food, property, decisions regarding those things. He entrusted. You're going to do that with somebody you don't trust? No, you know this man trusts her completely. He understands, he has confidence in her. My wife and I are a team. We're not two teams living under the same roof. We don't have my money and Sasha's money. It's our money. It's our house. It's our things. Because we're a team. We start making separations and things there. We might be setting ourselves up for some serious problems. We are one. God expects us to behave that way. Look at verse 12. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. We could go to Genesis 2. Woman was made to be a helper comparable to man. A helpmeet, the old King James says. She completes him. She feels what he's lacking just as he does for her. She makes him better. Her efforts make him a better leader in their home. We see all of these things go together. We talk about the husband sitting in the gates. Why is he so well known in the gates? I believe you've got to connect the previous verses. Because she's helping him to be well known in the gates. She's bringing him honor. And he brings her honor too. Because of the way he carries himself in the gates. The way he behaves himself. It goes together. We are a team. He gives security and comfort in return. This is the plan. These are some of the things regarding her worth. Let's talk about her work. There's an old adage that says a woman's work is never done. True story. The home does not open up at 9 a.m. and close at 5 p.m. right on the dot. You know that, right? She's up working far before that. And these little voices cry out at 3 in the morning, Mama, shop's open, right? Well, I didn't get any sleep. I hadn't slept up. Shop's open, Mama. Right? All the time. And at 5 o'clock, does she just punch the card and walk out? You know better than that. All the time. All day long. Think about the things she does to keep her household running smoothly. Look at verse 15. She is diligent in her work. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. Also look at verse 18. She perceives that her merchandise is good. Her lamp does not go out by night. She is diligent. She rises early. She's busy. even into the night. She's not slothful because she takes her responsibilities seriously. Her work is diversified. Right? Look at 16. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. Look at 19. She stretches out her hands to the distaff. Her hand holds the spindle. Her work covers a lot of area. You know what that takes? It takes wisdom. It takes the ability to apply the knowledge that you have. That's what wisdom is. Here's 26. And if you don't listen to anything else that we talk about, get this one for sure. Verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Is the law of kindness on your tongue? That's huge. Let me go back to a point I made earlier when I said that godly men are looking for this woman. I tell you what. When godly men are looking for women, if something other than kindness is constantly coming off their tongue, they're not interested. They don't want that biting stuff. And I tell you what, let me give you another one. I'm throwing free stuff out left and right this morning. If a woman mistreats her parents, not interested. Because if she would mistreat her parents, how is she going to treat me? Right? What's coming off of your tongue? Notice what goes with it in that same verse. She opens her mouth with wisdom. When you open your mouth, what comes out? Is it wisdom? Or is it something else? This is the godly woman. Such a great definition of her character here. Let's keep going. Look at who she provides for. And as you go through this, I hope it was sort of registering in our minds as we read through it. Look at who she helps. 23. Certainly, she helps her husband. He is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. We talked about that. She is providing things for him. This helps him. Her work brings him honor. Look at verse 15. It's not just him, though. It's the whole household. Food for her household, portion for her maidservants, even those who work there for her. She's providing for them. Others in need, look at verse 20. Is this your heart? She extends her hand to the poor. She stretches out her hands to the needy. By the way, God has always appreciated this and expected this of His people. Doesn't matter what dispensation you're under. This is just one of those things that God expects from His people. Well, this woman does. Remember, we're told, even in the New Testament, work hard with your hands that you might provide for others. This woman knows that. She does that. And here's one more. This is for husbands, by the way. Verse 22. Who else does she provide for? She provides for herself. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. It is good to enjoy the fruit of your labors. It is good. Mark your places and turn to Ecclesiastes. It's just the next book over. Probably just a couple pages. Let's look at chapter 3, verse 12. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 12. I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. Let me ask this question. Husbands, men, do we let our wives do something for herself from time to time? Or do I get furious when she goes out and buys a new dress or whatever, but I've got every gun and every video game and every gadget that comes out as soon as it comes out, but I get so mad when she gets something. Guys, let's let her enjoy the fruits of her labor. She should. She should enjoy them. Now, we know that doesn't mean go crazy. This is just an opportunity to show appreciation here. What's her reward? Our society, by the way, is going to read Proverbs 31, and they're going to say, "Ugh, what a waste. Huh, with talent like that, she could be the CEO of a multi-million dollar company. I mean, she could be famous." This is more important. What she's doing is far more important than any of that other stuff. She's shaping a household, right? She's shaping a family. She's shaping the faith of the next generation. Lois, Eunice. We see that applied in the New Testament. This is more important. How does God feel about this woman? 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands. Let her own works praise her in the gates. She deserves it. Ladies, do you want your husband and your children to praise you? Be this woman. Be this woman. More importantly, do you want to please the Lord? Have the heart of this woman. It deserves the praises of others. You can do that without being married or having children. This woman puts the Lord first. Verse 30. I want you to think for a second. Think of the impact made by just one godly woman. We've been studying the book of Acts. You remember Dorcas? Acts chapter 9. When she died, people were so upset, and they were showing the garments that she had made for others. This was a giving, loving woman. What an impact. I want to look at this one. Go to 1 Samuel 25. Let's talk about Abigail. We'll just look at a couple verses. There's a lot that can be said. You remember the situation with Abigail? She was married to a man named Nabal. His name meant fool, and he was well named. Very appropriate. When he had an opportunity to do good toward David, who had done good toward him, he refused to do it. He basically wrote him off. Look at verse 32. Let me back up. David did not take that very well. David suited up and strapped on his sword, and he was about to go wipe out that whole household. Now let's go to verse 32. Then David said to Abigail, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. And blessed is your advice, and blessed are you, because you have kept me this day from coming to bloodshed and from avenging myself with my own hand. Blessed are you, Abigail. You are wise, and you have saved me from shedding blood." She saved everybody else in that area too. Guys, don't be a Nabal. Don't be foolish and stingy and bitter and hateful, especially toward our wives. Don't be this guy. Men like that get their wickedness returned on their own heads. This is a good one. One more. Ruth. In Ruth, we see purity. In Ruth, we see loyalty. We see a love for the Lord in her as well. Don't doubt for an instant, because there are going to be people who say things to you. When you focus on being a godly woman, they're going to say things to you. Worldly people are going to say, "Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that?" There was, when I was at the bank, a guy came up and asked Sasha what she was doing. She was home at the time. She just finished college. She was busy going to ladies' classes and visiting others and doing those things. And he said, "Well, what are you doing right now?" And she said, "Well, right now I'm at home." And he said, "Oh, so you're not doing anything." I maybe shouldn't say this. I'm glad that took place when it did, instead of 5 years earlier. I might have punched that man's lights out 5 years earlier. I was so mad. So mad. I wanted to shake him. Like, are you kidding me? You don't do anything? There's a lot to be done by a godly woman. But the world doesn't respect it. The world doesn't respect it. And I'm glad it's 5 years later, by the way. I'm thankful for that. You're not doing it for the world's sake. You're doing it for the Lord's sake. It pleases Him. It builds your family's strength. It builds the local church's strength. You do it because it's right. Don't do it looking for approval from the world. They'll never give it to you until you do what they do. Can't do that. Can't conform to that. We need to pray for more virtuous women. And as one of the men teaching the class said, we need to raise the ones we have. The little ones. We need to raise them to be these kinds of women that we're looking at here. Let me ask some questions. For the ladies, are you a helper comparable to your husband if you're married? Are you a helper comparable to him? Do you complete him? That's what God wants that relationship to be like. This is a question I borrowed. It was asked by a woman. What kind of emotional tone do you set for your household? That's a good question, isn't it? You know the old saying, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy? True story. It's a true statement. The wife is the heart of the family in so many ways. And it is true that it just spills over into so many aspects of the home. What emotional tone are you setting for your family? It's a good question to ask. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Are you a diligent manager of your home? First Timothy 5, verse 14. Therefore I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Manage the house. This question is for men. Guys, do we let our wives manage the home? Or am I such a dictator that I won't let her do the job that God gave her to do? You know, there's a difference between being a leader of the family and being a micromanager. Those two things aren't the same. She has her role to play. She is much better suited for it than I am. Let her do her part. Let her do her job. You need to be better at that. Part of being a leader is understanding where your weaknesses are and the strengths of others are and letting them play to their strengths. I need to do that. I need to be better at doing that and recognizing and giving her the freedom to do that. Here's another question. Ladies, are you bored? Are you bored? There's a lot of work to be done in the kingdom. If we are looking for that, we will never be bored. I would suggest this to you. If you ever find yourself sitting there and you're like, oh, just so bored. I'm bored. Find a godly woman and ask her what you need to be doing. Because I guarantee you, they can tell you. There are visits to be made and calls to be made and letters to be written and meals to be cooked and encouraging to be done. There's always something that you can be doing. Always. And there are plenty of women here who are doing it. Just ask them. They can show you. What are you teaching your children? I want my girls to be good at math and English. I do. I want them to go to heaven more, though. It's fine to teach them the other stuff. And Lord willing, I will. I'm afraid there are some mothers who are teaching their children all they need to be successful in this life, physically. And they are leaving them woefully unprepared spiritually. What are you teaching them? Not only through your words, what are you teaching them through your actions? Now let's turn the tables. Guys, a couple questions for us. Husband means one who gives security. Yeah, I feel like I'm getting old now. You remember they used to call it animal husbandry? You know, at Auburn, you could major in that. Well, what did that mean? It meant taking care of animals, providing for their needs, and giving them security. That idea is kind of gone now, but they call it some technical term now that I'm sure I can't even pronounce. But the husband is one who gives security. And here's a question for me. Am I providing my wife with the security she needs, spiritually, most importantly, but also emotionally and physically? Am I providing her? Am I being that strength that God made me to be? For those looking for a wife, are you looking for this woman? I'm talking to Bubba, and I'm talking to Rand. And you say, come on, these guys are just kids. They need to hear it now. They need to start looking now. Are you looking for this kind of woman? This is what you need to be. And don't settle for anything less than this either. And for those of us who are blessed to have a virtuous wife, what are we doing about it? How do I show my appreciation for it? Am I showing my appreciation? I want to take a sidetrack for just a second, if you'll allow me to. Let's talk about marriage. Marriage is a covenant, right? Covenant is a special agreement between two or more people. In the case of marriage, it's between three, right? Husband, wife, and most importantly, God. If any of those three are neglected in the marriage covenant, it's going to have problems. It's not going to be what it should be. So it's an agreement. It's an agreement that's established by commitment. remember when you said your vows? You remember? God was listening. And He takes them very seriously. Vows. Those were the commitment that we made to one another. God heard. He expects me to keep those vows. Now here's the thing. A covenant is an agreement sustained by memory. We are bad at forgetting stuff. Why do you think the Lord wants us to remember His death on the first day of every week? Because we forget stuff. We do. Even very important stuff. It's sustained by memory. I need to think about the vows I made to my wife every single day. There's some people who take them and print them out. They put them in frames and they hang them up in their bedroom. Do whatever it takes. But remember the vows you made. God remembers. She needs to remember too. Maybe I need to breathe some life into my marriage. Maybe I haven't been practicing what I promised all those years ago when I made those promises to her. I need to fix it. I've got time to fix it. Here's another thing with that, though. It is for my wife's sake, absolutely. It's for the Lord's sake. It glorifies Him. My girls need to see me keeping my promises to my wife. My girls need to see me keeping the vows that I made to her so many years ago. Not so many, I mean, never mind. They need to see it. Because it's going to reflect how they see marriage. They're already forming an idea of what marriage is and how marriage should go. They need to see me taking it seriously. Let me ask one more thing. Men, do you fight with your wife? I'm not talking about disagreement. I'm not talking about, you know, we don't agree on this. And maybe even voices get a little bit. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about screaming and hollering and throwing and breaking stuff. I hear brethren sometimes talking about, well, we got in a fight. Guys, let me say this. It should never be a fight between me and my wife. David fought Philistines. And Joshua fought Canaanites. And you know what was left when they were done? Dead bodies all over the place. That should not describe the communications in my home. Right? I need. And if this is something that I struggle with, I need to fix it. I need to fix it. And it may require me sitting down with a brother. An older brother, maybe. Maybe a younger brother. Whose marriage appears to be what it should be. And maybe just sitting down and saying, I need some help. I need some accountability with this. Will you pray for me? Will you talk to me about this? I need to be willing to do it. My marriage is too important to let this go. Go and get your songbooks out. Do I treat my wife like she is my queen? Do I treat her like she's my helper, comparable to me in every way? Do I treat her like she's my fellow inheritor of eternal life? That's what she is. That's what she deserves. Thank God for righteous women, the work that they do. I hope we pray for them. And I hope we help them to do more instead of being a hindrance to them.